Good afternoon, Jessica Sutton. Welcome on VH Berries.
Thank you, Victor Hong. It's great to be here.
I am extremely grateful because you cast shadows of uncertainty regarding your artistic presence. We never know if you're in Cape Town, Vancouver, besides being in our hearts. And that is why there is a mysterious geographer with the same initials as me that came up with the term Cape Couver to understand your vision.
I like the Cape Couver. I'll wear it as a medal of honor.
It is a medal of honor, Jessica Sutton. And we also might need to look outside the windows because it allows air and light to enter from outside. And it is also a symbol of opportunity when it comes to watching your work during a 2 hours windows. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really well. The weather has cleared here in British Columbia. And currently I am in Vancouver. It's been a great year of travel and there'll be more to come. And yeah, I'm a bit of a globetrotter right now, but currently feeling really grounded and really happy to connect with you and have this conversation. So thank you again for having me.
Absolutely, Jessica Sutton. And to get that exchange of light, sound, and air through the window, it is important to remove the curtain on a very particular project and also on a royal ring from Relic Hunter. Can you tell us a little bit more about this project?
Victor, I was never on Relic Hunter. I know, though, that I have a credit that has seemingly popped up on my IMDb. I think I have alerted my team to this because I have been miscredited and I have no idea how that has happened. But I have been trying to actively get that removed. However, can I tell you something that's really funny? I loved that show as a kid. I loved Sydney. And I would pretend to be her, Sydney Fox, the Relic Hunter. I loved her bags, her boots. It was kind of, yeah, the first female heroine and explorer. And I loved how free she was and her sidekick, Nigel. I fondly remember that being a duo that I tried many, many times to recruit my brother in my many spy adventures and the games that we would play as kids. So it's kind of, I don't know, I think it's a bit of a serendipity that I've been credited with the show, but no, I was never on it. Wanted to be on it, but never was on it. So that is the story behind Relic Hunter.
If I understood correctly, Jessica Sutton, I watched the season 2 episode 20 called The Royal Ring, thinking that the little girl that we see
was
at the
me.
Very beginning was yourself.
I'll take it, sure, but it's gonna be a lie. No, I wished I was that little girl. I don't remember the Royal Ring episode. I'm going to have to find a way to rewatch the show. I just remember a few of the episodes, like the one where her and Nigel go into the desert. I think it was in Egypt and she meets a prince. And they have to uncover some other forbidden but ancient relic. And I remember there was one about a vampire. It got kind of supernatural and really cool and strange. But I don't remember the Royal Ring episode or the little girl. But I wish I was in the show.
You wish you were in this particular show, Jessica yes. Sutton. And because you were not in it, I'm going to pitch you the storyline and the beginning and the scenes in which we can see your character.
Okay. Because yes, please.
We can see the king saying to Elizabeth that she has her mother's ring, and he has a little game for her. He is going to put that ring somewhere, and he's going to give it back to her when she will be old enough to play the game. And I truly believe that this ring should be protected by Tailey Craven.
We are blurring worlds there, Victor. I like it though. Why not? Why not? You said that this was coming from her mother or her father?
The sentences.
Her father giving her the ring, her mother's ring. Is that how the storyline is?
The story of this episode 20 starts when Elizabeth runs to the king with the ring in her hand.
That ring used to be her mother's. Well, Tally, we never get to meet her father. Her father is totally not a part of that world. And it would be interesting to see Tally reincarnated. Would she still have her superpowers? Victor, I have so many questions to the storyline. But you know what? Anything to play Tally Craven again. Why not? Yes, please.
Absolutely, Jessica Sutton. You are enjoying everything around the character of Tally Craven. And I would love to discuss about this television series that is called Motherland Fort Salem. Can you tell us a little bit more about this adventure?
Well, it was 3 seasons of epicness and 4 years of my life spent playing one of the leads of Motherland at Fort Salem, shooting here in beautiful British Columbia, Vancouver City. And the show changed my life, quite literally. I booked the role from a self-tape that I had filmed in South Africa, with new representation that I had just acquired. And it was the first tape of many that they would send me. But that being the first tape they sent me and just having connected with them and then having my life catapulted into the show, into the world that is the witchy motherland Fort Salem, and into the shoes of Tally Craven, who remains to this day one of the most tender characters I've ever portrayed. She, when I read her, even before I read the script and the sides, I remember the way she was described, the little mini character description that we got. And it described her as a living exclamation mark. And upon reading that, I thought that is probably one of the coolest ways to describe a person, because I know something about that, about what it's like to live with this enthusiasm that just kind of pours from you. And I'm very much that. Jess is as an essence. I'm at my source, just someone who's very connected to their enthusiasm. And I just linked with the character that way. And it was just the most incredible 4 years of playing a character that would go on to have this incredible arc where you really see her from a girl stepping into her womanhood and a budding new soldier who has these epic dreams of one day, you know, reaching the ranks of general. And her journey through the three seasons is really more about how she can step into her power as a woman and as a witch, and then how to wield that power with responsibility and to then play her part in the larger scheme of things. So the scale just gets bigger and bigger every season as you go. And yeah, the story just gets more and more epic. But our brilliant creator, Elliot Lawrence, you know, he'd envisioned this world back many years ago. And to have the cast come from all over the world, these diverse group of women, and for each of us to have been given the part that we played, didn't feel accidental. It all felt very much fated. Like we were meant to be here playing these characters, creating this show together. And where we were all in our lives personally, which had nothing to do with the show, and yet there were so many parallels to our personal journeys when it came to power and the meaning of friendships, especially with women. There was so much healing and so many incredible conversations of depth and substance that to this day have inspired me and moved me really deeply. And I am so lucky to have the most incredible group of friends, and we all keep in touch. It's been a huge part of our lives. So it's grown me. That show was a classroom of sorts for me to become a better actor, but I also grew as a person, and I'm forever grateful for the journey.
You also grew as a person, Jessica Sutton, by playing that exclamation mark. And you also mentioned the word motherland, and I would love to know about your personal meaning of that term, because it could be Cape Cover.
Yeah, I mean, my motherland is South Africa, and it is the place that has forged me, and I am proud to be a South African. Canada is a new relationship, one that I'm still bridging my way to understanding and carving a life for myself here. I have to say that during those 4 years of shooting Motherland, Fort Salem saw me immigrate in a pandemic, which was really, really tough. It was one of those things that happened where you know it's going to change everything, that it's a huge leap of faith, that it's necessary, and that you're totally unprepared, but you just kind of trust the process. And when I leapt into the immigration process, I had to juggle the show along with being so far away from my family and in such uncertain times. It was probably the most stressful thing that I have survived. And I think I'm, you know, thanks to therapy and my incredible support system and just finding my own ground within myself, I know I've really grown a lot. But the relationship is still new. You know, I'm still realizing that I get to call myself a permanent resident of Vancouver. And, you know, the process of immigration it's been compared to one of the most traumatic stressful things that one can ever take in and do in one's life. I think it's third to losing a loved one and divorce. So it's, yeah, the process is, it's brutal and it's long. It requires a lot of resilience and patience, perseverance, money, and resources. So I know that I'm so privileged to be on the other side of that process, but wow. Wow. So, Victor, circling back to the question of to whether Vancouver has become a land that I can call home, I would say it's still a question mark. But having gone through the immigration process is a victory, and I definitely look at this permanent residency card that I've gotten, all that hard work in this little laminated card. I think, you know, this has allowed me freedom, huge freedom and hard fought for freedom. And I know that I don't take that for granted. And I really, when it comes to embarking on the process of immigration, I would say to anyone who's about to start or who's in the middle of it or on the other side of it, you know, it's for me, I'm really grateful that it happened, but I'm really glad that I am, that I don't have to relive it again, and that I also didn't know how hard it was. It kind of helped, my ignorance kind of helped me just embrace every step as it came. So right now I'm enjoying living between two worlds. I very much have decided to do 6 months, 6 months, and be a bit of a swallow and chase the sun for my health and for my well-being, but also, you know, my family, my heart, it remains in South Africa. And the roots that I have there are very, very deep, creative and personal. And whenever I go back, it's just a seeping of my soul. I just get revitalized and nourished in a way that I don't get from anywhere else. And I have been to many beautiful places on the globe, but there just isn't a place that compares to Cape Town, South Africa, my motherland.
In definitive, there is no places that compares to Cape Town. And you also mentioned, Jessica Sutton, the word bridging, because we could create the biggest bridge in the world between those two cities.
Yes, we could. Or even better, not a bridge, but a under ocean bullet train, please. Something that, you know, could just, I don't know, be submerged, and it could allow me to get to Cape Town in a matter of hours, not 30 hours or 40 hours by plane. It's really, really far. And I think it's always the second leg of the trip that I realize, gosh, there's no direct flight. That's how long it is. I'm flying from one major continent to another. So there's two flights, and if you're lucky, a 4-hour delay. If you're unlucky, more like a 12-hour to 20-hour delay. I've done both many times. So, you know, you just have to have a good podcast or books in my case. And I'm a big fan of taking naps and using airports, especially when I'm not in the lounge. I just use them to just walk and stretch and read and sleep and repeat. So maybe a bridge, but can it be an underwater bullet train, please, Victor? Could you arrange that? Thank you.
Absolutely, Jessica Sutton. Let's make reality. We have the choice between making a bridge or an underwater tunnel. But in all the cases, I believe that we should work with the AM Corp distribution.
Yes, let's do it.
I mentioned the name AM Corp distribution because this is the factory in which the season 3 of Motherland Fort Salem is starting. Can you tell us a little bit more about that workplace?
Oh, I see what you did there. I see what you did there. Sorry, as I was processing your question, I was just like, yes, okay. So just to repeat, you want me to dive into season 3 and what happens?
Absolutely. I would love to discuss about the season 3, which is the most powerful one because you are wearing a very cozy winter hat.
I am wearing many layers because we are shooting in the dead of Canada's winter. And being a foreigner and someone who was born in the Southern Hemisphere, our winters are very mild. You know, the temperature doesn't drop below 10. We get, you know, light showers. Maybe a few storms, but, you know, it's reasonable. It's moderate. And very quickly did I realize that Canada was extreme and it's not moderate. They say that Vancouver is the warmest part of Canada and it's moderated by the ocean and, you know, the temperatures are better. But for me, I had to really learn, especially while we were shooting, to take my vitamin D supplements and to wear layers. Thermals upon thermals, hot pockets, which are like these, I'm not going to do a good job explaining them, but basically these little these little sacks of warmth that sustain you upon hours. You can put them into your pockets, into your shoes. But the outfits were so much fun to wear in the final season because we stepped out of our uniform and we were on the run. So we got to really play with disguises and trying to blend in the world outside of Fort Salem, which is really cool. So yes, I did wear a very cozy hat, jackets, jumpers, which we call in South Africa jerseys, and a lot of tights under jeans, a lot of double socks and boots, waterproof boots. And yeah, our wardrobe team were just fantastic. So deserving of their Leo win. They got recognized as they should be. And Tracy Bolton and her team of witchy women who ran our wardrobe department for all 3 seasons were just exquisite. And it was a lot of fun to do fittings because we, you know, we had really free rein as to how these characters would dress now that they don't have to be in uniform. So I got to bring a bit of Tally into the trench jackets she wears. In fact, one I bought just after the show. Production allowed us to purchase not only some of the set deck, but also the wardrobe. And I really went to town on purchasing most of Tally's wardrobe through season 3 because it was just so divine. I'll be like, this is what I want to wear. This is what I need. you could say that it was also me just not wanting to say goodbye to the character. And at that moment, I remember very vividly the last day and thinking, wow, this is the last day. This is it. How do you say goodbye to something that has felt like a very intimate world that you have built with these strangers turned family, and the story that feels like it's woven into your tapestry of beauty and truth, and it's meant so much to you. So we kind of, the girls and I were always joking, we were like, we're seeing this as a final salute, as a, you know, as a means to just fully arrive in every moment of shooting season 3 and savoring it, knowing that it's the final season, and bringing all of ourselves to the role and just enjoying it, having a blast. So yeah, that was a ritual that I practiced every day, was just how to stay that much more present and that much more connected. But by that last day, I took off those shoes, Tally's boots, because the last and final scene that we shot was in the fuselage, the shell of a helicopter that was mounted in our studio, which saw us shoot the very first scenes of the pilot. So it kind of just came full circle. And I remember looking at across to Lynn, who plays General Alder, and that epic love story between her and Tally, and that full circle as well being completed. And it just felt like, okay, no, there isn't actually a goodbye needed. It's just an evolution, and it's always going to be something that is part of me. So in that way, I actually, you know, I've been thinking a lot about circles and how much life is like a circle. And, you know, I would say that when I was in my 20s and in my teens especially, I wanted things now. I wanted everything to happen right now. I was so impatient and hungry and very much driven by my ambition and wanting to make things happen and wanting to get from A to B. And I couldn't wait to get to B. And now I'm 30 and I'm in a very different season of my life. And what I'm realizing is, I think there's a change of pace. I'm not really hankering to get to be anymore. In fact, I'm just really enjoying the process of exactly where I am right now, talking to you in my living room in Vancouver. And yeah, there's, I think that circle, that idea of the circle, came from that last day of shooting Motherland, and it's buried itself inside my heart. And I think I've taken that sense of presence, of just being present for everything. And Rumi, there's a quote by Rumi that I keep pinned, about just living everything. You know, we're here to live everything, the whole experience of life. And I love that. You know, no need to rush, just to savor every moment, because we're really, really lucky to be here in the first place.
Absolutely, Jessica Sutton, you are enjoying the slow pace, and the costume department deserves the credit and this special time, because the hat you were wearing is a gentle crown of amber resting atop Tally's brows and capturing the essence of autumn's breath. Have a memory?
Sorry, Victor, can I just stop you and say, you're a poet. That was beautiful. Amber crown? Beautiful. Wow. Can I get that in writing? That's beautiful. Sorry, continue your question.
I wrote that little poem because this is what that winter hat inspired me. And I am wondering if you have any memories wearing that masterpieces of couture.
Oh, wow. Yes, a lot, a lot, many memories. It's funny, you know, the things you remember the most, mostly for wardrobe, is like when something is feeling really comfortable and, I don't know, it just feels right. It changes. For me, wardrobe is a really big part of my craft. I can wear a corset and I breathe differently and I sit differently. And you can be in heels or in pants versus a skirt. You can have earrings, you have your hair up, down. And I feel like those little adjustments, those choices, I'm very sensitive as a performer too. I really feel inspired, and it just leads to me holding my whole body differently. But I will say that the things that I remember are the things that often cause me pain. And I remember distinctly, it wasn't so much Motherland. It was the first international show that I did, which was a mini series for Sony Geographic called Saints and Strangers. And we had to wear bonnets and corsets. And it was so uncomfortable. The bonnet had to be pinned in a particular way. So it like hooded my face just enough to look right. But it also had to stay. And it wouldn't stay. And so the pinning began. And, you know, it feels like this thing is stapled to your head. And you have to find a way to just use it and work, you know, use it through your performance. The particular wardrobe item that I had to do that with were the boots, which I have kept. I don't know why I've kept them. I swore I wouldn't. I'd be so glad to be rid of them. But the army boots that we were given were fitted perfectly to us. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter if I had insoles. It didn't matter about the fit. Those boots were just a nightmare to stand in. And often that's what you're doing as an actor. If you're not sitting in the green room, you're just kind of cold waiting for hours between, you know, the seconds you get to do your job and act, between action and cut. But most of the time it's just kind of standing. And so, yeah, I have kept the boots, and I remember that the most because they caused me so much pain. But for the hats, I just loved wearing them. I loved wearing everything in the final season. Nothing felt too tight. It was just a pleasure. I did feel like walking onto set every day, I was kind of a little fashion runway. It wasn't couture so much, but it was just beautiful clothes that made me feel really confident and powerful, and I could do all the stunt moves, you know, but still, you know, rock bell-bottom jeans and and crop tops and really beautiful pleated coats. And yeah, it was just stunning.
Furthermore, Jessica Sutton, one places in which you don't want to have that a winter hat is probably if you were in the position of Allison in the feature film Escape Room, because this yes. is a very warm environment.
Yes, exactly. That was Allison in Rogue, shot in the heart of Africa. And it was very hot. Agreed. But I will say, speaking of wardrobe that I would never want to get back into, would be Allison's school uniform. I wanted to burn that thing by the time we were done. It had been saturated in, because we shot pretty much in order, in sequence. And so every day it was just like, how much more fake blood, how much more dust and dirt can we just, you know, grime this thing down? And by the last week, I didn't want to sit in it. I didn't want to get into it. I desperately remember pleading with MJ Bassett, the director, to please, please, can I just change? Can she just have just any other alternative? But because it was such a high actioned, you know, we dropped in the middle of nowhere, there is no resource, no help coming, you know, a wardrobe change would not be believable. So I ended up suffering in the school uniform. But everything else about that project I loved, especially the people. And the fact that we were shooting it, you know, in my motherland was extra special. And the talent on that show was just unbelievable. So, so lucky. And I also remember the timing of Rogue. When we shot Rogue, Motherland season one hadn't released yet. So we were, you know, still in post, still anticipating the audience's response to the show. We hadn't even seen the final product. And I just remember feeling so excited. And MJ had directed episode 5, and we had worked prior together on the Inside Man sequel in Cape Town. That's where we met. And yeah, I just followed her, and I would follow her anywhere. So when she decided to pitch me a passion project that her and her daughter were working on, I said, yes, tell me where, tell me when, I'll be there. And she was like, yeah, it's going to be in South Africa. Come down, come play with us. So yeah, it was such a exciting time of my life. I remember being on that farm. And I think, yeah. Yep. Was it the whole time? Yep. All 25 days, I think, of night shooting, which is my least enjoyable thing to do as an actor, to shoot night shoots, just because it really messes with your circadian rhythm and your sleep patterns, makes you feel a bit crazy. But because it was consistent and we were just shooting largely through the night, because we needed all these sequences. We also needed a way to escape the heat because it was so hot. So the very few day shoot sequences that we had, we were baked in the heat. But yeah, thankfully the nights were cool, long but cool, and It was just such a great show. We had so much fun. But I do hate that school uniform. And Allison would not, yeah, she would not do well with a hat. That would not be what I would wear. Something cool.
In conclusion, you were trying to find the extravagant ways to say goodbye to that uniform, and I am looking forward to see that project of the same name. Thank you very much, Jessica Laura Sutton.
Oh, thank you, Victor. And yes, I look forward to shooting extravagant ways of saying goodbye with a brilliant South African film director, Liz Kuhn. And yeah, we will be planning to shoot that in July or September in South Africa this year. It's going to be my first time that I'm leading a feature film and telling a story that is really close to my heart. And I'm, yeah, very excited to step into the character of Sam. So next time, Victor, I hope to talk about the wardrobe behind extravagant ways of saying goodbye. And yeah, and really dissecting and unpacking a beautiful love story about grief and growing up. than maturation. Which, if I think about it, it's a lot, it's a theme of a lot of the characters I play.